Welcome to Energy Talks, a regular podcast series with expert discussions on power system testing topics. My name is Scott Williams from the podcast team at Omicron, and I will be your host. Hello, everyone. In this episode of Energy Talks, we will present part three of our mini-series called Digital Transformation in the Power Industry. Together with my guests in this episode, we will discuss the importance of cybersecurity in the digital transformation and how it plays a critical role in power system infrastructures. We will address why it is important to implement cybersecurity now in your facilities, power plants, and substations. Some governments, such as in Germany, have introduced laws which require all companies with critical infrastructures to fulfill a certain level of cybersecurity for their equipment and facilities. Other governments handle this topic differently. However, one thing is for certain, there are increasing dangers of cyber attacks on critical infrastructures throughout the world, which can have dangerous repercussions. We will also discuss what Omicron is doing in the area of cybersecurity and which solutions it offers to the power industry to deal with the growing threat of cyber attacks. Joining me in this episode to discuss these points is, first of all, Thomas Friedel. Thomas joined Omicron in 2020. Prior to that, he worked for several technology companies in the areas of networking and cybersecurity. He currently works in the Power Utility Communication Unit at Omicron and is responsible for supporting cybersecurity-related projects with customers around the world. Thomas is based in Germany. Hello, Thomas. Welcome to Energy Talks.
Hello, Scott. Thank you for having me here.
Also joining me is Eugenio Cavalera. Eugenio joined Omicron in 2008 and is based in Houston, Texas. In his current role as engineering manager at Omicron, Eugenio leads the application engineering team in North America. His areas of expertise include power systems protection and control, digital substations, and cybersecurity. Thank you for joining us, Eugenio.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Thomas. It's a pleasure being here to talk about digital transformation and cybersecurity.
Thank you both for being here for this discussion about cybersecurity in the power industry. How are each of you involved in the topic of cybersecurity? What is your experience in the field? Thomas, let me start with you.
Yeah, I'm roughly more than 20 years involved in the topics of, let's say, networking and in particular cybersecurity in networking environments, and I used to work with large enterprises during those days, to help them with these topics. And in particular, and that is more relevant for this topic here, in the last 4 years, while I was focusing, I'm still focusing on the aspects of cybersecurity for OT networks, so operational technology networks, which we call the networks which are used to run the productive environments in facilities. Mm-hmm. And at Omicron, I'm focusing on the product Station Guard, which is a tailor-made solution for utilities and energy industries.
Okay. Eugenio, what is your experience in the area of cybersecurity?
So my background, Scott, is as a protection and control engineer. But my involvement with cybersecurity comes from the fact that I'm highly involved into the digital substation projects and IEC 62850 as a communication protocol in substations. And you can imagine that when talking about cybersecurity now in the last years, every conversation at the end, you know, finish with or bring the topic of cybersecurity. So many utilities, they have, when they start their journey into this new technology, you know, they start raising concerns and questions. And many times they have also fear of not being able to comply with cybersecurity regulations. So the best way to overcome this is with education. So to educate ourselves and also have those open discussions with customers and show them that actually there are many advantages that this new technology can bring, also cybersecurity related. So same as Thomas, so at Omicron, our IDS solution in Station Guard is one of the products that I'm focused on. And also from an industry standpoint, I'm an active member and participate in many working groups of the Power System Communication and Cybersecurity Committee.
Very good. Thomas, the German government has been proactive in regulating the cybersecurity of companies in the critical infrastructure. Could you describe what is being done in Germany, and do you agree with the steps taken?
Yes, I can do. What you're probably referring to is the activities around the so-called IT security law 2.0, which was issued last year in May. And the interesting thing is, and that is probably a bit unique to the situation, that the law was changed or updated after 5 years where the first version was issued, which is probably a bit uncommon, but it's because of the ever-changing and really fast-changing situations in the world of cybersecurity. And this IT security law 2.0 is now, let's say, sharpening the methods and also the ways companies should involve themselves in increasing their cyber resilience. And this law is really focusing on so-called critical infrastructures, or in other areas it's called the services of special interest for the community, but it's basically the same meaning. They really should empower their, in particular, their IT and their OT cyber resilience. Because at least we have to accept that the really bad guys also improving their capabilities, and in particular the so-called state-sponsored hackers, which are well-organized, well-funded organizations which are working for some governments, and the other ones are the criminal organizations which running basically a business to earn money from, and they are now also more and more focusing to organizations which are running critical infrastructure. And that is basically the background why this law had been changed now last recently. And in that law, there are some more stronger requirements made since before. For example, it's now mandatory by law for critical infrastructure providers to deploy a couple of measurements like intrusion detection systems, so-called IDS solutions, to be able to detect attackers as early as possible. And also, probably due to the experience of the first law version, now it's also sharpened in the way that penalties to companies will be given if they don't do this. And that will probably motivate them to do some more. And finally, the law also empowered agencies which overseeing those kind of processes with more headcount funding and so on, and giving them more rights to being involved and forcing companies to improve their cyber security. And overall, to come back to your question, if I'm agreeing to that, so yes, as I'm working in that field of cybersecurity since years, so I feel this is the heart of our community, the critical infrastructures, and we should do everything as we can to protect them. And we see, unfortunately, attacks are now directed to those infrastructures, and I fully agree that we are doing more here.
Okay. Thomas, what is the general situation in other countries around the world? Should other countries also follow Germany's lead?
Well, I'm not 100% sure if every country should follow our lead or, let's say, our example. But I think in general, we have different initiatives in different countries which are more or less in the same direction to improve cyber resilience for infrastructures or services of special interest. And we see, for example, on the European area, we see a so-called NIS, the NIS directive, which also is on the way to be updated. So the NIS directive the first version was issued. NIS is for networking infrastructure security, and it was issued 2016. And now it's talking that it's the last new version will come along this year in June. That means also on the European level, there is a lot of effort spent to improve that and also to have a similar standard, let's say, that the countries are more or less on the same level in Europe. So that is very much motivated by the European Union. And then we see some metrics or measurements they are declaring there. This directive is similar to what we see in the issued law in Germany, for example. And there's a recommendation that these European countries should then look at the new directive and implement laws which will be somehow complying to this directive. So we see a lot of movement there, which is very good. That we see also improvements on the European level. And if you're going down to, let's say, companies like neighbor companies to Germany, where I'm more familiar with, like the Switzerland, so they don't have laws in place yet for this purpose, but they have, let's say, handbooks and, let's say, recommendations from the VSE, for example. That's the community of electric engineers, which is kind of standard for Switzerland. So everybody is following these rules there. And also in Austria, there is a discussion, a law in discussion, but it's also very much very close to the NIS directive from the European Union. So there's a lot of things are going to happen. And besides that, you will see also cooperations on the energy or utility field. For example, there is an organization called IISEC, European Energy Information Security Exchange Community, where I'm in behalf of Omicron an active member of. Or on local levels, you have also communities like Allianz for Cybersecurity in Germany and so on. So there's a lot of things are going on, and I think they are all in the same direction made.
Okay. Thank you, Thomas. Eugenia, what is the situation in North America?
Well, in North America, the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, so in short, NERC, is actually the regulatory authority that is responsible here to develop all the reliability standards, right, and also enforce compliance. So, and what happens is that the entities that are connected to the bulk electric system, so they have to comply to this NERC reliability standards. And when we talk about cybersecurity, then the NERC SIP, so the CIP, is the set of standards for critical infrastructure protection. And basically, the SIP is comprised of 13 standards, which apply to the BES cyber assets and substations, and they are also classified, or they depend on their impact level. So they define, low, median, and high impact levels, and based on the severity of what an incident could cause. Mm-hmm. And some of these standards, as part of the SIP, are more on a governance side of things. So they just set basic policies, deal with topics like personnel management, training requirements, and even address the topic of supply chain risk management. And some of the other standards are on the technical side, or technical standards. And at the end of the day, they follow more or less the idea of the NIST security framework that creates this process, this continuous process of identifying threats, protect, detect, and then respond, right? Mm-hmm. So just to mention a couple of standards that are part of the SIP, you have the SIP-002, for example, that defines the process of the utilities to identify their assets, identify their threats, and classify them mm-hmm. between those different levels that I mentioned. The SIP-007, for instance, defines system security. So they define some requirements as far as protecting, but also define requirements for malicious code prevention. So like the deployment of methods to detect incidents, and also generation of alarms and generation of events. SIP-008, they enforce the need to have an incident response process in place. And the SIP-009, for example, they address the need for the utilities to have a recovery plan when services are affected. So you can imagine that, such a standard is in a way always kind of behind. And it's in constantly evolvement, based on what is happening, and also based off influenced by all the activities in the industry.
Okay. Thank you, Eugenio. Thomas, the corona pandemic, as well as the current war between Russia and the Ukraine, has impacted all of our lives, not to mention the increasing threat of cyber attacks. Do you think there is a shift in the power system sector towards even more data security and sustainability?
Well, Scott, I'm afraid I have to say yes. In particular, sadly, to the Russian war against Ukraine, we see, alongside with this, physical war, there's also a lot of cyber attacks were launched to believe, but coming from the Russians to the Ukraine, and in particular to the utility space. And this somehow sadly accelerated the wake-up process a bit. And we see now more projects coming along or requests from utilities. And we see task force from larger utilities were built and got a focus to do something quicker than original planned in terms of increasing cyber resilience and to doing some more in protecting their operation and technology OT networks. So they're unfortunately, it's accelerated to the situation we have in Russia and Ukraine.
Okay. Eugenio, how does the U.S. government plan on handling the increasing incidences of cyber attacks, specifically in the power sector?
Well, cybersecurity has been for sure identified as a critical economic and also political risk, right, by the U.S. government. And one of the initiatives of many that I wanted to mention here is that in April 2021, so the Biden administration launched Industrial Control Systems, or ICS, cybersecurity initiative. And as part of that initiative, so at the beginning, one of the actions they took was they released a 100-day action plan specifically designed for the energy sector, right? And this was led by the Department of Energy, also in cooperation with other agencies. And at the end of the day, the objective was to strengthen the cybersecurity of the electrical grid. Mm-hmm. And interesting enough is that just a month after the launch of that initiative, we all saw in the news, in the headlines, you know, reports about this major cyber attack to Colonial Pipeline, this American oil pipeline company in Texas, where due to cyber attacks, they had to shut down their pipelines. Mm-hmm. So this just, I think, reinforced the importance and the need. And this also led to the government even strengthen that initiative. One interesting thing to mention that as part of this 100-day action plan, they derived some concrete milestones. And one of the things that I have identified as critical was the need to enhance the visibility and monitoring and detection capabilities in OT networks, right? So mm-hmm. this was a key measure that they want to improve, to also improve the security of the grid. So they found ways to stimulate the utilities to look into advanced technology to modernize their cybersecurity defense and encourage the owners and operators of the grid to implement such measures and such technology, right? So enhance cyber visibility, detection, and their mitigation capabilities. At this point, this is just a recommendation, but I can imagine that pretty soon this may end up as well as a requirement in a NERC SIP standard. And that would be pretty much in alignment, I think, to what Thomas mentioned, what is happening in Germany nowadays.
Okay, very good. Eugenio, what are some of the difficulties power plants and substations face when they attempt to improve their cybersecurity?
Well, I have to start saying, Scott, that many of the regulations now imposed to the utilities are being, for sure, a big burden on the engineers, right? So as a protection and control engineers, I kind of feel their pain that they have to deal now with these new processes that at the beginning, it's also influencing the way they do their daily work, right? Even before they start thinking about how to make my substation more secure, they have to continue working and they have to deal this with these new processes related with cybersecurity. So for instance, a protection engineer now, you know, when he goes into the substation, he's bringing a test set. And that test set or that laptop, the maintenance laptop he carries, is considered as a transient cyber asset, as a TCA in the NERC SIP terminology. And they have to manage these transient cyber assets, right? Mm-hmm. Also, they have to deal with patch management of the IEDs. Also, if the manufacturer releases a new firmware, they have to go through that process from a cybersecurity mindset as well. So this has a big impact on the way they do their daily work to start with. And when we talk about then the cybersecurity process, then I think that for the small utilities, it is the main problem. The main issue is for sure the lack of resources. They don't get much support, don't have like a dedicated IT department or a dedicated security officer, and that's for sure a burden on them. For larger utilities, then for sure those protection and control engineers, they get more support from IT departments. They may have even a dedicated group inside the utility. And there, I think it's very important that those groups work together on mm-hmm. on a big plan, right? As we interact with our customers or with some of our customers, we hear about some pilot projects when implementing IDS systems, for instance, that fails due to that lack of interaction between the groups. So the IT people, they have a very good understanding, of course, of cybersecurity in general, but the OT also knows the requirements of his application very well. So they have to work together on that plan. And one of the things that we hear that those pilot projects fail is, for instance, because the IDSs that are implemented generate so many false alarms that they are just overwhelmed with the things that they have to analyze. And at the end of the day, if they go through a very time-consuming process of investigating the alarms and finding out that they were false, so at some point, they will not trust the system anymore and they will simply ignore it or start shutting it down, right? So that is a need identified where, you know, we have to implement systems that give less or at least close to zero false alarms to support that process.
Sure.
Also, another challenge faced by them is the level of expertise that is required by those personnel to analyze and understand the events that they are receiving, right? So, and sometimes a very skilled IT person is required, and the IT engineers have no idea of what that message that he's receiving mean. So this brings the need of, you know, another thing on when we implement such a system in an OT environment, that the language that those solutions speak should be understandable by both groups, IT and OT, to foster that collaboration between them. Right. So for a protection engineer, it's very important that the events and alarms that he's getting is strongly related to his application and that can easily point him out to the cause of the problem. And lastly, one that last thing that I wanted to mention, Scott, is the sharing of information is also a big challenge to those utilities, right? When they do analysis of those alarms or even in their daily work, due to these needs to be compliant with these regulations, they have a very limited room to be able to share information with third-party companies. And that at some point, they have to find a way as well to get their job done, but at the same time, not risking on the compliance side.
Very interesting. Eugenio, what are the organizations in the power sector doing to meet these challenges?
Well, I think that they are, Scott, they have to look into new technologies, right? I think that this initiative from the government that I mentioned earlier that looks into encourage the owners to look into new technology and implement these detection and mitigation systems. It is a process that is important for them to go through, and I think they're doing their homework. And again, remember that close collaboration, IT and OT, that at the end of the day, they get tools and solutions that speak their language and foster that relationship.
I agree. Thank you. Thomas, Eugenio had mentioned this before. Is there less of a risk from any cyber attacks for smaller utilities?
I would say not at all, Scott. It might sound strange at the beginning, but if you think about, if you compare a huge utility with a smaller one, the immediate impact might be smaller. But we see tendencies and also strategies, if you would like, from attackers. And that's where really providers and countries are afraid of, that if an attacker may launch or capable to launch an attack to smaller utilities at one time, let's say for a given region, for south of Germany or whatever, to smaller utilities, and he's capable to manage that at the same time, the impact might be even larger than for attacking just one larger utility. So that's why it's also very important that those utilities exchanging information and so on. But their main challenge is for the smaller utilities, and I think that was mentioned by Eugene already, that they don't have these resources. So the bigger ones may have well-staffed IT and even OT security groups, but the smaller ones that don't have these resources, and they're working also quite heavily with second-party maintainer and so on. So then we are in the area of supply chain attacks, what Eugene, you mentioned also with the example of the pipeline provider in the United States. So there was they were not attacked directly, but they were attacked indirectly by compromising supply chain parties here. And that is a big challenge for these smaller utilities. And there are a couple of ideas around that. Maybe they need help from professional so-called managed security service providers, but that's yet to be established in the field of utilities and in the OT networks of utilities. But that might be a help because they don't have these resources, but they have to do something. They have to do something with good knowledge, and they may source help from the outside.
Okay. I want to repeat a question I had asked before, just for a little bit more detail into the situation in Europe. Besides the increased cybersecurity activities associated with the law in Germany, could you again reiterate what is happening in Europe? There's a new EU initiative since last summer. Is that correct?
That's very much correct. So that is an initiative to improve the networking security of network information systems. That's the so-called NIS directive. And since last summer, there is a discussion and people could contribute or still can contribute what should be improved to get this get this directive much sharper, similar as we saw that in Germany with this mentioned law 2.0. And basically, when this first version of this directive was issued, there was a strong focus on advising that companies should implement, or also critical infrastructure providers or operators of essential services, they should have so-called CERTs, security incident response teams established. They should have single point of contacts to report major incidents to governments and so on. And they define what are operators or which sectors we are talking about, like energy, like finance, and so on. That was the work on the version one of this directive. And now it's much more sharpened. So they deployed or they are demanding more risk management, having really incident response more sharpened, and also considering not just the corporation itself as vulnerable, but also include in their risk management supply chain providers, so supply chain companies they have to work with. The reporting should be legally improved, and they should exchange information, and they should also disclose things so that each, let's say, even country can learn from each other, should be disclosed as quick as possible, that something could be avoided, which happened in one country, still can be avoided in the other country. So that is a lot of improvements here. And also, finally, they are now the new version, which is due to be in June. The expectation is in June, is also to have penalties associated with not being complying to these rules. And it's now similar to what we saw a couple of years ago with these data privacy law, GDPR law, where also corporations are, the penalty is linked to their annual revenue, which is up to 2% of the annual revenue they have to pay if they causing a major outage and didn't follow the recommendation. So that is a lot of things are going on here to really push these forward in the direction that you have to improve your cyber resilience. So that a lot of things are going on here.
Okay. Now, you've alluded to this to some degree. How will these directives be enforced, or how will utilities be motivated to improve their cybersecurity?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question, Scott. And I think Eugenio mentioned already, at the end of the day, it brings more burden or more work to the utilities. That's true. They may want to just to avoid efforts that don't need the resources for. But you have to put some controls in place. And I can specifically explain a bit how that works in Germany. So after this law version 2.0 was issued, then also there is the central agency, which is responsible for cybersecurity, which is called BSI, the agency. They outlined also metrics and processes and guidance how utilities or other critical infrastructure providers need to be, let's say, tested or controlled. And that will be done by independent or certified consultants or certified controllers, companies or single persons, it doesn't matter. And they are checking if these utilities did implement measurements or controls to as the law is demanding. And then the list will be sent back to the BSI, and then they are getting time to improve if something was not fulfilled. And that can go forward down to, let's say, paying penalties if the, let's say, being not complying was too much. As the bad guys improving and in whatever evolving, so these controls and these checks have to be repeated every 2 years, for example, and they have to recertify then again. And in the worst case, which is not happened so far, but in the worst case, they will lose their license to provide, let's say, energy if they don't fulfill the requirements. So that is written in the law, and that's now going to happen to be more and more checked. And I'm assuming similar things will be done in the other countries as well.
Okay. Thank you, Thomas. I have a question for both of you. What are your tips for organizations in the power industry to include and implement cybersecurity initiatives into their digital transformations? Thomas, what tips do you have?
I think there is one big issue these companies should consider as early as possible. I think Eugenio raised that already. So when it's coming down to, let's say, cyber selection of cybersecurity products or controls they have to deploy, mostly in larger utilities, the responsibility is still with the IT people. And in those type of projects, these people should involve as early as possible OT experts, because they have to work together and they have to select the right solution, which because at the end of the day, it's going down to the OT people who have then to work with that and to report to the IT, to the SOC, security operating center, alerts, and so on. And then they have to work together. The guys in the IT world don't really understand what these OT alerts are meaning, and they have to talk together. And as early as possible they speak together, they may be able to select the right solution for them. And we really have seen a couple of projects, there are a couple of examples, obviously not disclosed to the public, but we have seen that larger utilities failing to deploy since years security products which were coming basically with the office IT meaning in mind, and they don't work in the OT world, and that you can avoid that as if the people are talking together and working groups to select the right product. And that would be my let's say number one advice to do.
Okay, thank you, Thomas. Eugenio, do you have any tips for our listeners?
Sure, Scott. I think Thomas and I, we talked a lot about regulations and laws as well in this podcast, right? And course, the utilities, they have to be worried about complying to these regulatory standards for sure. But a tip from my side is to look at it from a different perspective. I think that instead of starting from a regulation mindset, we should be thinking on best practices and be open to new technology. I believe that for a utility that will just try to do the minimum to comply, they will face up problems in the future. The process will end up being very costly because they will be always behind. And as we have seen and have discussed, those regulations and standards, they are evolving. So the utility will have to evolve with it as well. So I would, my tip, and also looking at as a coming from a protection and control engineer, I believe that we should look at it more from a holistic approach and look at best practices instead, right? Mm-hmm. So if they do that, they will be on top of the game and compliance will just follow, right? So, and share knowledge and learn and be out there involved in discussions in the industry, organizations such as, for instance, IEEE, PSCC, committees, and other places. Let's just get that discussion going and be looking at best practices. And as I said, the regulation aspect will just follow it and will be there.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thomas, what is Omicron doing to help organizations in the power industry improve cybersecurity around the world?
Yes, but so if you think about, we didn't talk that much, we don't want to talk that much about a product as a such in this podcast, but if you're talking about IDS solution station guards came alive, this already clearly shows that we are really focusing and on the needs of power industries, because before we developed the station guard, we really did 2 years research work, interviewed a lot of our customers, what their needs are. We tried to put, or we got our knowledge about the OT world in the utilities on the table, if you would like. And the result of that was a tailor-made product for utilities. So that is clearly showing our engagement here. So we'll be really focusing on that, and we are continue to improve that. That's one number one. But also we are trying to participate as active as possible in communities, like, as I mentioned before, the II. EISEC, which is a European community for energy utilities, to exchange information about attacks, about vulnerabilities, and so on, as well as in other organizations. So that we're trying to contribute as much as possible to share our findings and help other utilities to protect themselves, but as well to learn for us ourselves what maybe is needed in the product itself. So how can we improve our services, our products? So it's a win-win situation, I would say. So we contributing with our knowledge, but we're also gaining a lot of information back. We can improve our solutions. And besides that, we are offering that's tailor-made consulting and training services for utilities to help our customers designing the right side cybersecure architecture, and we also train them, we educate them, which really improves their capabilities to stand really, let's say, against the ever-increasing number of attacks. And these attacks also are kind of tailor-made for this industry. So you need to be on top of that, and we're trying to contribute as much as we can.
Okay. Eugenio, do you have anything to add?
Thomas already covered well in terms of what we offer as cybersecurity solutions for substations, but also as a company that provides testing solutions to the industry. And we discussed it earlier about the TCA, right? The transient cyber assets. So the test sets are a transient cyber assets and that are brought to the substation and are seen as an attack vector, right? So therefore, we take cybersecurity very seriously throughout the development of our software and hardware products. An example I want to mention is our MBX and RBX hardware platforms, and where we have implemented in those test sets many cybersecurity measures that at the end of the day support the requirements set by some of the standards, like system hardening, authenticated firmware updates, disk encryption, just to mention some. Also, an interesting factor is that these test sets, they also kind of provide an isolation from the OT network to the Windows PC. So I do not connect my Windows PC to the network, what would raise another level of questions and concerns, right? But mm-hmm. The test set kind of operate as a firewall in between the PC and the OT network. We also support, for sure, our customers in their process of clarifying risks that they have identified that could be imposed, you know, by test sets, for instance. And we have established a process in-house to handle on how to handle and how to disclosure product security vulnerabilities. And this is something that is handled by a dedicated team in Omicron, a product security team.
Okay. Thomas, where can our listeners get more information about these available solutions you had mentioned?
Scott, so the first place would be our website, Omicron website, but also we created a specific website, which then it's called www.stationguard.com. So StationGuard is the name of our solution or portfolio. There they can find a lot of additional information, even smaller trainings videos, not that long, but explaining what they should do and what the solution is about. Or they can even engage direct with our experts around the globe. So we have more than 25 offices around the globe, and we are present in more than, I think, 130 countries. So there's a lot of also direct engagement possible, either with us direct or with sales partners of us. And in addition to that, we are doing regular webinars on a regular time frames, we are attending globally fairs and exhibition talking about specific topics about cybersecurity for the utilities. So that's all our ways to learn more about our solutions.
Very good. Arginio, Thomas briefly mentioned this. There are specific Omicron webinars and online courses. Could you recommend where our listeners can learn more about cybersecurity through these webinars and courses?
Sure. So the listener can find a lot of resources available in our website, for sure. And if we go to omiconenergy.com and look for training and webinars, for instance, so we have a series of webinars that were developed on the topic of cybersecurity, and there are a lot of webinars that are presented live, so you will find a date that you can sign to, or you can even find some old recorded webinars available for you as well. Scott, that I really like myself is called a Cybersecurity in Substations, Important Aspects for Electrical Engineers. I think that's a really good start point, you know, for a protection and control engineer to kind of get his feet wet, you know, on the topic of cybersecurity in substations. So all these resources are available in our website for you to sign up and watch. And I wanted to mention as well that some of these webinars are co-hosted with some of our partners in this field.
Okay, very good. So we have some other expert perspectives on this topic through them. With these webinars and trainings, do you have to be an Omicron customer to attend them?
No, not at all. They are. We would like to turn them to Omicron customers if possible, but there's no need to be an Omicron customer to have a product from us purchased to be able to join that webinar. So it's free for all. So we want to teach the community, the people who are involved in utilities, to improve their cybersecurity, resilience capabilities, as well as asset discovery things. So we want to share this information to as much people as possible.
Okay. Thank you, Thomas. Thomas and Arginio, thank you very much for your insights and sharing your experiences with implementing cybersecurity in the power industry.
Thank you very much, Scott. You're most welcome. And thank you, Arginio. It was a pleasure to do that together with you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Scott, for having me here. And thank you, Thomas, for the very insightful discussions.
Thank you both again. And a big thank you to our audience for listening to this episode of Energy Talks. We would really like to know what you think about our podcast and which topics you would like to hear more about in the future. Also, if you have questions about a particular episode for our guest experts, please let us know. To do this, simply send us an email to podcast@omicronenergy.com. We greatly appreciate your questions and feedback. Omicron has several years of experience in power system testing and offers you the matching solution for your application. This includes solutions for cybersecurity, which were discussed in this episode. For more information, be sure to visit our website at OmicronEnergy.com. Here you can also find information about upcoming Omicron Academy webinars and training courses, as well as the latest issue of Omicron Magazine to keep up to date about the latest in power system testing. Please join us to listen to the next episode of Energy Talks. Goodbye for now, everyone.